Leif Kellerman, Tour Doors, Thursday, 13th of February, Yud Gimel Adar Aleph.
Good morning. Hello from Shalom. Delighted to be here.
Coffee? I make you coffee in a minute?
No, thank you very much. It's hard for me to do two things at once. I can't. Delighted to be here on this, I think it's a marvelous idea, a marvelous program. I wanted to thank Mr. Dudley Iskovitz for asking me to be here today. I came here for the chasana of a grandchild, and anytime one can come to visit grandchildren and attend a simcha is a really marvelous thing. The topic that I chose to speak about was that of the two adas, particularly appropriate. There are two adas. Today is tomorrow is Purim Katan. The number of shilas as to how one is supposed to deal with the fact that there are two adas. I just wanted to mention as a way of beginning that there are some unusual facets to the two adas this particular year. Ordinarily, when there's a leap year and there's a second adar, what we do is we have to break up some of the double parashios because from the first Shabbos after Simchas Torah until Shabbos HaGadol, in a regular non-leap year, there are 24 Shabbosos. And Chazal, the Gaonim, were Kaveya, that we try to read Parshas Tzav always as Shabbos HaGadol. But there are 28 Parshios between Bereshis and Tzav. And if there are only 24 weeks in a regular year, then you have to double up some parshios. When there's a leap year, we don't lane tzav because there are four additional shabbosos. Instead, there were kaveya that we read instead from Sazria Mitzora, and the reason that suggested that we do these two kriyas before Pesach is because both of them briefly mention the concept of kashering kalim. In Tzav, Perek Vav, it says v'im b'klin choshes bushola, they have to kasher something. And then it mentions also in Perek Tezayin Vayikra, v'chol v'kli cheresh ashe yigaboy hazov yishover. So it talks about kashering kalim, which is very appropriate as a reminder before Pesach that we need to do hagolas kalim. And so, a regular year, 24 Shabbosos, Tzav, a leap year, 28 Parshios, Sazria. That works well, except for this particular year in which we are in now. As you may remember, Rosh Hashanah came out very early in the year, and it came out early in the week. And because of that, it's a very strange event which occurs once every two or three decades. We have 29 Parshios, 29 Shabbosos in between Sukkot and Pesach. If they're 29, then we only have 28 Parshios to get up to Sazria. It doesn't work, we're short. And so the accepted practice, what we do today, is we take a Parsha from after Pesach, Achrimos, which we ordinarily never lane before Pesach, and that becomes the Kriya on Shabbos HaGadol. If you take a look in your Chumashim, you'll see there's a tremendous difference of opinion as to which Haftorah was supposed to lane on Shabbos HaGadol, depending if it's Tzav or not. I don't want to get into that, but there is an interesting... and so we read Achrimos once every 15, 18 years or so. We read Achrimos before Pesach, quite unusual. But that was a decision that was made also by the Gaonim, which was not a good... they were not happy with that decision because it affects something which takes place later in the year. We say that we don't want to read B'chukosai, which has the Tochacha, the Shabbos, right before Shavuos. Instead, we have a buffer Shabbos, that of of Bamidbar. But because we're moving up, Achrimos, we're going to end up reading two Shabbosos between Bechukosai, and they didn't want to have such a big gap between them. There were two opinions as to reconcile this in a different way, totally unlike Achrimos, and that is, some of the Ga'anim suggested, didn't become Halacha L'maisa, but some of them suggested that we can split one of two Parshios that we never split before. For instance, one suggestion was Mishpatim, to split it by Im Kesef Tal Ve'es Ami. Make it two Parshios. The other suggestion was to split this week's Parsha of Kisisa, before the Egel and after the Egel, make it into two separate Parshios. And so that would have allowed Achrimos to stay afterwards, and yet would have come up with a 29th Kriya. For whatever reason, this was not chosen or became an accepted approach. Okay. I also just wanted to mention that because we're in Chodesh Adar, we say Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. What do? In many shuls and Bate Midrashim and many homes, they hang up a sign, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, to remind people. Traditionally, according to many Minhagim, where is that sign put? That sign should be put on the place where we have left a blank square, Zecher L'Churban. Every home should have an unpainted area, which is Zecher L'Churban, to remind us of sadness, unfinished homes, since there's no Beis HaMikdash. But this is covered, Mishenichnas Adam Marbim B'Simcha. Why would we cover it, Mishenichnas Adam Marbim B'Simcha? The Mishmeres Halevi suggests that because on Sudas Purim, it's the only time during the entire year when we are permitted to take out all of our fine cutlery and silverware, etc., and to put them on the table. Ordinarily, we never put everything on the table. Again, Zeichel Churban, we leave something off. But on Purim, we don't do that. Purim is the Geula HaAsida, and we don't do that. And so we should put the sign on the place where the blank wall was. But there obviously has to be more to the concept of Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, and I wanted to explain this as well. The Gemara tells us in Tainus and Daf Tesamid Beis, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Bereder of Shmuel, the son of Shmuel, said in the name of Bashilas, Mishmei Derav, in the name of Rav, Kishem, just as Mishenichnas Av Memayitin B'Simcha, just as when the month of Av starts, we decrease Simcha, Kach, so Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. So when it comes to Chodesh Adar, it's the opposite. We are Marbim B'Simcha. And so the Gemara tells us when a person has a Din Torah with a non-Jew, the Islay Dina Bahadi Oivet Kachovim, if you have a confrontation, a legal confrontation with a non-Jew, do not do it in the month of Av, which is Reya Mazlei. Do it instead in the month of Adar, which the Mazel of Klal Yisrael is better and stronger. And this is brought down Lahalacha, and think in Tuf Nun Aleph in the beginning of Hilchas Purim. This is where it's brought down in Hilchas Tisha B'Av, Mishenichnas Av, Mamayat, and B'Simcha, that one should not go to a court. But the second half of the statement of Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, not brought down Lahalacha. And I wondered that perhaps it's because I'm not sure exactly what we are to do when Adar comes in. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, how are we Marba B'Simcha? What do we do to be Marba B'Simcha? Being Mamayet, not being B'Simcha, is understandable. Don't go to weddings, don't play music. So what is the converse? What is Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha? And I can't imagine for a moment that anybody in a sane mind would do something in Chodesh Av to be Mayat Simcha Shalol Lishma. Nobody's going to do sad things and mitol shalolishma bolishma, but it could be by Chodesh Adar, Mishenichnas Adar Marim Besimcha, and we should do things to make us happy. So what do we do to make ourselves happy? Laugh, smile, play happy music so we can tap our feet. What are we supposed to do in order to be marbed the concept of simcha? So we can make weddings. I mean, I came here for a wedding, which is very nice. But what else do we do? We can't all schedule our weddings. There are not enough halls and space to establish all of our weddings only in the month of Adar. And it's not good policy to push you off a wedding. Gemara says, Shema yekadmena acher. And so how are we to be mar besimcha? So I thought to myself that perhaps this is the reason why it's not brought down the halacha, because there was nothing specific to say. And the maisa, it's called a hanhaga. There is a hanhaga of mishenichnas ada marim besimcha. It's a way of doing things, mishenichnas ada. And so what is it that we're supposed to do, and what way are we supposed to do it that will increase the simcha that we feel? And I think that is really the key question. If we can understand, first of all, what is simcha, and second of all, how it is that we are to increase this feeling, what we are to do, then we'll have a better understanding. Does this concept or hanhaga of mishenichnas ada marim besimcha apply also to the first month of Adar, or it only applies to the month in which we have Purim? Logically, halacha l'maisa, logically, I would say that the first month should have been the month in which we celebrated Purim. It's 12 months from the last time. It's the first mention of Adar, etc. The only reason why we push off Purim to the second month of Adar is because we're saymach gula l'geula. The geula of Purim should be close to the geula of Pesach. But other halachas apply. The Gemara says, ain bain. There is no difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, except for Kriyas Megillah and Matanis Lev Yonim. Otherwise, we don't practice everything, but the feeling should be that it's the same. So it could be that this concept of the hanhaga of Mishenichnas Adar Marim Besimcha should apply to this month as well. So I wanted to just try to touch upon what is this concept of simcha, and how is it that we are supposed to be marbe in this particular thing. Now, I think the best place to start with to understand the concept of simcha is by taking a look in the Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara and Shabbos, Daf Lamed Amid Beis, the Gemara says, Bikshu Chachamim Lignos Sefer Kehelas. The Chachamim wanted to be goynes, to hide, to put away the Sefer of Kehelas that was written by Shlomo HaMelech. Why did they want to do away with Sefer Kehelas? The Gemara says, Mipnei Shedvarav Seisrim Zeh. There are many contradictions in the psukim of Kehelas, which are difficult to resolve, and it's not good to have unresolved contradictions. May make people feel a little bit funny, and so rather than so they felt maybe the best etzah simply to hide Kehelas, to do away with Sefer Kehelas. Lemaisa, why didn't they do it? Mipnei ma lo ganzu mipnei shetchilasai divrei Torah v'soifei divrei Torah. Why didn't they do it? They said because from the beginning to the end it is filled with divrei Torah, things that we have to learn from. And so the Gemara gives a number of examples as to what were the steeris and then how to resolve them. So the Gemara says, the third, I think, opinion in the Gemara is a pasuk in Perek Ches, in Kapitel Ches, in Kehelas, pasuk Tezvav. It says, V'shibachti ani es ha-simcha. I am mishabeach, I praise the simcha. But it also says, earlier in Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis, Vila Simcha Ma Zeh Asa. What does Simcha do? Which is a negative outlook. So I praise Simcha in Perek Ches and in Kapitel Beis. I say, well, what's Simcha? What's so? It seems to be an irreconcilable difference. So the Gemara answers, V'shibachti ani yisa simcha. The Gemara says, loy kasha, it's not a problem. V'shibachti ani yisa simcha is talking about simcha shel mitzvah. In the pasuk, v'la simcha, ma'za osa, is simcha she'en le mitzvah. It's very simple. If you're talking about the simcha of a mitzvah, m'shabeach ani yisibachti yisa simcha. If you're talking about a simcha, not of a mitzvah, then simcha ma'za osa, then what do I need this particular simcha for? And so, Lamashal, I'll give you an example. You go to chasana. Many of us go to chasanas. So you say to yourself, you know, I besides being a rav in New York and I have a kehillah, I also happen to be the headmaster of a girls' school, which means that I go to many, many simchas, Baruch Hashem. But I could see that the people would say, another wedding, I have to run out, I have to go, You don't always look at going to the wedding with tremendous feelings of joy. And someone asks you, Nusa, how is the wedding? How is the simcha? You flew all the way to London for a simcha. How is the simcha? So you say, okay, it was nice, it was all right, I had nice food and stuff like that. That's one answer. On the other hand, you could say, the wedding, he says, it was tremendous. He said, I had an opportunity to be mesameach chosn v'kala. I had an opportunity to dance and to do simcha, an opportunity to participate in a mitzvah, in the creation of a new home. Depending upon your answer and how you answer that question gives us some insight into whether you appreciate the joy that lays within each and every mitzvah. And it doesn't apply just to a wedding. It applies to we go through life doing mitzvahs all the time. And we take so many of them for granted. Do we say, a mitzvah, I can learn in the morning, I can do Ratzon Hashem, I'm gewalding, I'm getting up to daven. My father called, Tati, what can I do for you? You're molly simcha because you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, which means that you are doing the ratzon of the Rabbanu Shalom, of the Melech Malchi Amlochim, and it's an opportunity to get closer. So this is a kiyum of a simcha in which we say, Meshabeach ani es ha-simcha. Such a simcha is givaldig. It's wonderful because I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm doing the ratzon of Hashem, I'm getting closer to the Rabbanu Shalom. What could be better? What could be better in my life than to do Ratzon of the Rabbanu Shalom? I can be Mesameach, Achosin, V'Kala. It's incredible. It's interesting. The Mesilas Yesharim in Perek Yud Tes has an interesting insight into this. He says that there are three ways in which a person relates to the Rabbanu Shalom. And he says, Hasheni hi asehu asimcha. The second way in which we relate is that of simcha. Vahu ikar gadol ba'avoida. Ikar gadol ba'avoida. Ikar gadol ba'avoida. Your task, your obligation, your service to the Rabbanu Shel Olam depends upon simcha. Where did we ever hear of such a thing before? The answer is, if you take a look at the Teichacha in Bechukosai, that says, why did all these punishments, why will all these punishments come on Klal Yisrael? Tachas asher lo avadetem es Hashem elokecha besimcha uvetov levav. We are punished with the teichacha for not being besimcha? Was there any place that we're told to be besimcha? Is the mitzvah one of Taryag, be besimcha? And if you're not besimcha, you're doing something wrong? No, we're never told this. So how can we be punished, such a violent punishment, for not being besimcha? The answer is because simcha is an indication that I have joy in doing the ratzon of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. If we know for sure that whatever we're doing that's good and right and a mitzvah is doing the ratzon of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, then I'm happy. What else could make me happy? I should be full of joy that I am doing the will of the Creator who manages my life. who manages this world. So Iker Gadol Ba'avayda, Uhumash David Masya, this is what David warned us, and he said, if there was Hashem Besimcha, Baal Ufana of Bernana, come to him by joy, Tzadikim Yismachu, Ya'alzu Lufnei Elkim, B'yasisu Besimcha, and Chazal have said, Gemara in Shabbos, Ein Hashchina Shaira Ella Mitayich Simcha, there can be no presence of the Rabboni Shel Olam within us, and near us, unless we are besimcha, and the simcha shall mitzvah, he says. Val pasuk, and he continues to go on. If there's Hashem besimcha, and he goes on and on talking about the quality of simcha that one has to have in life, and so many mitzvahs that we do without the realization that we are doing a mitzvah, let alone to do them besimcha. If you have an opportunity to stand up to give an older person a seat to mitzvah. Some of us just do it, you know, in a perfunctionary fashion. Very perfunctionary. Besimcha. You're doing the mitzvah and the ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Kuzari also goes on at great length. He says, an interesting insight, the Kuzari says that every mitzvah is an invitation from the Ribbono Shel Olam, is a hazmana from the Ribbono Shel Olam. A mitzvah is an opportunity and a request from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Come, let's get together. Let's get together. You'll do what I suggest. I'll feel good. You'll feel good. A time of simcha. And so every mitzvah is a personal invitation from the Ribbono Shel Olam. I heard from Rabbi Matos Yo Solomon. I know he's currently the Lakewood Mashgiach. I know that he has some connection to this country previously, and from Manchester perhaps, or Gateshead. And I have this chus to have been attending a weekly shmooze of his for the past 10, 11 years, every Thursday evening. And probably what I'm saying is roughly based on something that I heard from him, but I remember specifically a story that he told me. You know, I'm an American citizen, so I may have not gotten the story straight, but he told me that there was an elder yid, perhaps it was in Gateshead, who was a well-known tailor who made his chalats, and he got to be quite old, but he still practiced. And one day, Ramazio came to him to I don't know for a new chalat or a pair of chalat, whatever the long coat that he wore. And then he walks in and he sees this old man, Mali Simcha, grinning from ear to ear. So Matasio asked him, he said, what's the occasion? Why are you so happy? So he says that I just received an invitation to the Queen's Garden Party. Queen's Garden Party. I'm not sure what the Queen's Garden Party is, but the way the Rav Matasio said it, I imagine that wasn't a very extraordinary event. Wasn't the most special event during the year. It seems to be that there are people who do things for the local town council, and at the end of the year they take a look at the list and they invite people to the Queen's Garden, is that it? And the Queen may or may not make her presence there, and this is the Queen's Garden Party. Now, this man, actually, the tailor, didn't receive an invitation from the Queen. He received it from his son, who did something for the local town council where he lived, not from Gateshead, and he sent his father an invitation. An invitation came from the son, but this man was so much besimcha, it's unbelievable. So Matasio asked him, so you're going to, of course, go to the Queen's Garden Party? So the man says, well, b'sbechem sugar. He said, of course I'm not going. He said, then why are you so happy? He said, but I got an invitation from the Queen. We have an invitation from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Every day, every time there's a mitzvah, is an invitation from the Ribbono Shel Olam to get together. Better than the Queen's Garden Party. And so we Avada should be besimcha at the opportunity to do a mitzvah. And so it's a very significant occasion, such an invitation. And we should be misaneg im Hashem. We don't realize it, and we need to understand that a mitzvah is a wonderful opportunity. And such an attitude it leads to simcha. And chas v'shalom, on the contrary, Rachman al-Utslan, can lead to the tochacha. That's what it means in b'chukosai. And so we do mitzvahs without thought. What Hashem wants, what he's offering, we don't realize the opportunities. And so to do a mitzvah properly, we have to think of what Hashem wants, realize it's an invitation, be joyous that I can do something that makes the Rabbonu Shel Olam satisfied, to do Ratzon of Hashem. And if I can do a mitzvah besimcha, then I know that I'm doing that mitzvah correctly. And so it's an opportunity to get close to Hashem. And the simcha starts with my realizing that the Rabbonu Shel Olam's Hashgacha Pratis manages every component of every part and moment of our lives. There is no part of my life that's not directly overseen by the Rabbonu Shel Olam. And every time a mitzvah comes to my hand, it's an invitation from the Rabbonu Shel Olam, here, my entire yid, my entire zun, here is an opportunity to do a mitzvah, and we should be besimcha. And so the yesod of the simcha of Purim, the yesod of the whole simcha of Purim, is la Yehudim haisa oira v'simcha v'sasang v'kar. They have to fill our lives with oira. What Gemara says, oira zu toira, simcha zu yontif. And so we have to fill our lives. They had an opportunity. They went from trembling fear of being eradicated to the exact opposite, that of an opportunity to learn, to do mitzvahs, to fill their lives with or and simcha, and doing ratzon of the Rabbonu Shel Olam. And so this is an opportunity for us to do mitzvahs. Mordechai thought that all was lost, that there was no more left to life. But for Nahapachu means that no. Nahapachu means that I have the ability to fill my life with Torah, with simcha, with joy, and to do the ratzon of the Rabbonu Shel Olam, which is paramount. Torah zu or, this is the connection, and this is what life is about. The simcha of a mitzvah, the marbin besimcha, means to look into our mitzvahs and to do each one with the simcha that a mitzvah deserves. And so all year long we do mitzvahs, milamuda, you know, you do it in a perfunctionary fashion. It's not right, but we end up doing that to some extent. In the Chodesh Adar, we have to look at every moment of our lives, at every opportunity for a mitzvah, and to do the mitzvah besimcha. And that if we do the mitzvahs besimcha during Chodesh Adar, it will end up being a different Purim and a different kind of Pesach. And so when there are 2 months of Adar, it's a double opportunity for us to look at every mitzvah, every maisa that we do, every chesed that we do, and to do it besimcha, to be joyous, to be happy, because we're doing ratzon of the Rabbonu Shel Olam. And maybe by our awareness of bringing simcha into this world and elevating our mitzvahs, our masim tovim, our chesedim, we will be zochet to bring bias and